Welcome to the 4th and Goal Fantasy Podcast with your hosts, Nick Sykes and Jimbo Donahue.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Happy Friday to all of you fantasy footballers out there. I'm your host, Nick Sykes, and welcome again to the 4th and Goal Fantasy Podcast. I think before we get into today's wide receiver and quarterback rankings for week three, I need to address the elephant in the room. Yesterday, as some of you may know, we went over our starts of the week, and I endorsed probably one of my worst picks of my young fantasy career. My start of the week was Gardner Minshew, quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars last night against the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins, who have the worst defense against the pass, giving up the most yards to wide receivers. And listen, folks, it may have been one of the biggest swings and misses I've had. You know, I thought Gardner Minshew having three touchdowns in two games, being a top 10 quarterback over the first 2 weeks with a fat matchup was going to suffice, but obviously not. I gave a lot of people were counting on my opinion. A lot of people put their chips in on Gardner Minshew. And he really let you down, and I'm sorry, I know how this feels, but at the end of the day, if you are new to fantasy football, it is gambling. You don't ever know for sure what's going to happen. You have probability. Gardner Minshew was set up to succeed in this game, but what we were left with was 275 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, one fumble, which just absolutely was gut-wrenching to watch, especially for me as someone who endorsed Gardner Minshew. And I know a lot of people who started him off my advice pretty much alone. So I apologize to you people out there. This is a part of fantasy football. I feel terrible about it, but hopefully you can still bounce back because we still have a full Sunday slate of games. Looking back, I also endorsed Mike Gesicki as my start of the week. And people who may be concerned about Mike Gesicki, I just want to just kind of help you out a bit and give you some more confidence and give you some context of what we saw last night. So Mike Gesicki, you know, he was 1 for 3 with a touchdown for about like 15 yards or so. And yeah, not what you wanted to see. But on two separate Ryan Fitzpatrick touchdown drives, there were PI calls against Mike Gesicki. You saw them target him a lot in the end zone. And if those two pass interference calls weren't placed on Mike Gesicki, you know, the defenders were holding him, then it's very possible Mike Gesicki ends the game with three touchdowns instead of just the one catch for one touchdown. So you really like to see like that where the targets are going. He is the red zone target for this team. And, you know, it's not the best day for a tight end, but a lot of times tight ends are some of the hardest positions to trying to calculate outside the top four. We saw Devontae Parker look kind of slow this game. His day was serviceable, 5 receptions for 69 yards, but you can kind of tell his speed is kind of not quite there with that recovering from that hamstring injury. I'm very surprised they did play him. The only two players I really want to talk about this game are the two running backs. Miles Gaskin, a very hot pickup this game, 22 carries, insane from last game 7, 22 carries for 66 yards, and don't forget, 5 receptions for 29. If he found the end zone, it was going to be a really boom day, but it's a very serviceable flex play if you did play him last night. And of course, the emergence, the man keeps on climbing the ranks here. It's James Robinson. I had Robinson as my RB19 this week, and it is for very good reason. Robinson, 11 carries, 46 yards, 2 touchdowns. But what I was really interested was the pass-catching work we saw from last week, and it was reiterated again this week, with 6 receptions for 83 yards, the check-down option. It seems as though the absence of DJ Chark really hurt this offense, and James Robinson was the constant check-down guy because Minshew had no time to throw. But I was really happy seeing Robinson do so well. I think for a lot of you Saquon, McCaffrey owners, and Raheem Mostert owners, I think Robinson could be a very good long-term flex play for you going forward. Of course, Ryan Fitzpatrick had a very good day with 3 touchdowns, a very efficient game for him. And me and Jimbo had a bet. And I want you as a listener to think about this too. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw himself a pass last night, and he has 1 reception. And the question I'm thinking is, who of all the receivers out there, How many of them are going to catch less passes than Ryan Fitzpatrick this week? It's going to be something very funny looking back on Monday. Me and Jimbo already are hedging some bets on who we think is going to catch less passes than Ryan Fitzpatrick in week three. So it's a fun bet to have. But yeah, once again, everyone, I'm sorry about Gardner Minshew. It sucks, I know. The process was there. The setup was there. All signs were pointing to Gardner Minshew possibly breaking into the low-end QB1 this week, but alas, that is fantasy football. And without further ado, folks, let's get into the wide receiver and quarterback matchups. We'll start off with wide receivers first. And there's going to be a lot of injury talk, a lot of implications off those injuries, but I'll try to give you the best update that I can. All right, so first off, DeAndre Hopkins versus Detroit. DeAndre Hopkins, almost a 40% target share. He's like a 35 or something like that. Insane target share against the Lions. This is a shoe-in matchup. Hopkins will for sure probably be the wide receiver one this week. Next up, I did have Davante Adams here, but Davante Adams' update today has been ruled doubtful to play in this Sunday's game against the Saints. So if you have Davante Adams, I suggest you start looking for other options, and we can get to some of those later in these rankings. Next up, I have Calvin Ridley versus Chicago as my wide receiver three of the week. Calvin Ridley has been on a tear. He is the wide receiver one as of right now. And I heard a couple people put it this way. Calvin Ridley is the receiver that we like the production we wish Julio Jones could be. And that's just not the case. Ridley has this new synergy with Matt Ryan in the red zone. He seems to be the number one target on this team. And talking about Julio, I have Julio ranked as a wide receiver eight. Obviously, if Julio plays, you're playing him, but he hasn't really been practicing. I think he was limited today, but I think it's going to be a game time decision for Julio, which really does scare me. If Julio is out, Calvin Ridley is going to have a great day versus Chicago, and I believe Russell Gage will get a bump as well, but I think Russell Gage, whether Julio plays or not, is going to be a solid play this week. Next up, we at our wide receiver four, we have Tyreek Hill of Baltimore. Baltimore number one against guarding wide receivers. They've given up the least amount of yards. They have not given up a touchdown to the position, and for very good reason. They're the best defense in football. I am nervous for this matchup. I think it's going to be a shootout when you have these two great quarterbacks going back at it against each other, but I do believe Tyreek Hill is going to have to get something done for the Chiefs to be pretty competitive in this. Next up, number five, we have Mike Evans. And Mike Evans is taking on the Denver Broncos. The Broncos have a lot of rookies in their secondary, you know, with obviously the absence of Von Miller as well. I think Mike Evans is going to have a smash game. We've kind of seen him over these past two games. You saw them come back to him. You know, week one was kind of a dud. But this last week he had 10 targets, 7 receptions for over 100 yards and a touchdown. I think you can definitely – I think Mike Evans is a shoe-in at this point. I think he's Tom Brady's favorite target. And with the return of Chris Godwin, it's going to alleviate a little bit of pressure off Mike Evans as well. So feel good starting him. Next up, I want to make this player my start of the week, but I feel like that's too easy of a pick. I have him higher than the consensus, but I have Tyler Lockett versus Dallas at number six. Dallas, this is going to be a insanely high-scoring game. Seahawks last against guarding wide receivers, and Cowboys are in the bottom five. So I believe this is going to be a very high-scoring game, similar to almost what we saw with the Falcons-Cowboys game last week. I want every piece of this game I can possibly get, and I think Tyler Lockett is a shoe-in. Next up, Amari Cooper, same case, same game. I think Amari Cooper's going to have a great game. Cooper's had fairly okay, serviceable production as a wide receiver one, but I expect him to explode in this game. Next up, at wide receiver eight, we had Julio Jones. Once again, we've already talked about him. If he's healthy, you got to play him. Next up, number nine, we have Allen Robinson. Now, Allen Robinson's kind of been a pooper up until this point in the season. We haven't really seen the kind of production that we were expecting, especially from last year. But one thing that has been consistent is that Allen Robinson is having the most highest target share on his team. Like, over the first 2 weeks here, we've really seen Allen Robinson, like, he's basically the only pass-catching option. He's had 9 targets in each of the first two games. I think all he has to do is find the end zone, and it's going to be great. I mean, we all see how terrible Atlanta's secondary is, and I believe this is the kind of get-right game for Allen Robinson. Next up, that's right, folks. we have two sets of receivers, both on the same teams. I'm endorsing the Atlanta receivers as well as the Seattle receivers. DK Metcalf versus Dallas at number 10, rounding off the wide receiver ones. We've seen Metcalf, I think, really grow this season as well. Seattle's letting Russ cook. Russ is being immaculate back there, having one of the best starts of any season I can remember for him. And I think DK Metcalf is also a shoo-in for this matchup. Next up, we have, starting off our wide receiver twos here, I have Adam Thielen versus Tennessee. Thielen still seeing a very fat target share. He's seen, I believe, 8 targets in both of the first 2 games. I am nervous for Kirk Cousins in this, but I think one thing's assured is that the targets that Adam Thielen is going to receive, and I think due to target share alone, you have to trust that Adam Thielen is going to get it done. And that is why he is the wide receiver 11 this week. Next up, Chris Godwin at Denver. Back from the concussion, Chris Godwin is healthy. I feel very comfortable starting Chris Godwin, and you should too. I think this is going to be a really, really good matchup for the Buccaneers here. Next up, a guy I'm very high on this week is Terry McLaurin at Cleveland. Now, the Browns are very bottom tier. They're 26 against wide receivers. Definitely not something you really want to see for this Cleveland defense, considering they have a lot of talent there at their at the cornerback position. But yeah, I mean, Terry McLaurin is him and Logan Thomas are the only pass catching options for Lame Haskins. And I mean, Terry McLaurin is a fantastic receiver. I'm very excited to start in this matchup, considering Washington's probably going to play from behind. So start up your Terry McLaurins. Next up, I have Juju at Houston. Juju at Houston at wide receiver 14 this week. Houston has looked atrocious. They have looked darn right atrocious trying to guard anyone. And their offensive line is terrible as well. I believe Pittsburgh is going to smash them early and smash them really fast. We saw last week that Houston played the Ravens. It was not pretty at all. Every single position was getting receptions, giving up a lot of air yards as well. So I expect this to be a very good game for Juju. Next up, Kenny G at Arizona, Kenny Galladay. Kenny G is expected to play. He's been practicing in limited this week, and all signs point to him playing on Sunday. If he's playing, you automatically start him. A talent like Kenny G, a guy can really elevate this offense against a mid-tier Arizona defense. Now, I think you still have to pay attention on Sunday if Kenny G is officially going to be playing or not, so keep your eyes on that. Next up, at wide receiver 16, a guy who's really risen in my ranks over this past week is Julian Edelman versus Las Vegas. Listen, Edelman had a career game coming off last game. I think him and Cam are going to have a fantastic time against the Las Vegas Raiders. I think when we looked at the Raiders game against the Saints last week, the Saints were just so lost without Michael Thomas, but you did see Traquan Smith kind of emerge, and I believe Edelman's going to be able to get it done. I believe the New England Patriots are a little bit better coach and better at scheming and planning for kind of these type of matchups. I expect this game to be pretty close, to be honest. The Raiders did look pretty good, and they do have a lot of dogs on defense and offense, but basically last game really solidified my faith in Julian Edelman in this season. Wide receiver 17 is going to be DJ Moore at the LA Chargers. Now, I believe the Chargers are starting Herbert, and I believe Carolina is going to get smashed. And I think without in a game with such a negative game script and without Christian McCaffrey, I believe they're going to be forced to throw the ball a lot, more so than what they're doing in the past. And, I mean, we saw last week McCaffrey went down, and we saw Mike Davis get eight targets, 8 receptions. We saw DJ Moore lead the team in targets, and I expect something very similar but possibly more inflated this game. And for that reason, DJ Moore is my wide receiver 17. Next up, we have my start of the week, Diontae Johnson versus Houston. Diontae Johnson, 4th in target share this season of all wide receivers in the NFL. I believe he has over 10% target share higher than Juju Smith-Schuster. Diontae is emerging, and I think he has officially broken out, and I believe this matchup against Houston is just all the stars are aligning for him. And I think this is when people are really going to realize how good Diontae Johnson is. Next up, at number 19, we have Robert Woods at Buffalo. Now, Robert Woods, a little bit disappointing week 2. I believe he's going to be paired up against Tre'Davious White, the head cornerback for the Buffalo Bills. The Bills have been giving up a lot of yards over the past couple of games. We saw Miami give them a run for their money last week, and I believe if Miami can do it, I believe the Rams can do it too. But just that cornerback matchup a little bit scares me, so I have Robert Woods a little bit lower than I usually would at wide receiver 19. Lastly, rounding up our wide receiver twos, I have Stephon Diggs versus the LA Rams. Stephon Diggs is going against Jalen Ramsey, but I don't think it's anything he hasn't seen before. Stephon Diggs very used to being the wide receiver one for his offense. And listen, I mean, I'm done doubting Stephon Diggs. That pretty much has to do with it. I mean, I wanted to doubt him this season, saying that he was going to disappear, but Josh Allen is throwing the ball for 400 yards. He's throwing for over 40 attempts some games. And Stephon Diggs has 9 targets and 13 targets in his first 2 games. I think he's a shoo-in. I think he's a must-start. All right, going to our flex plays here, wide receiver 3. Starting it off, we have Keenan Allen versus Carolina. Once again, a very smash matchup. I think with Justin Herbert, I think this offense just looks a lot better. Last week with Herbert, we saw Allen get 10 targets for 7 receptions and 96 yards, and I expect him to have in a very favorable matchup. I believe Keenan Allen's going to have a great day. Next up, we have OBJ versus Washington. I rewatched the game, Cleveland's game from last week. And, you know, if OBJ doesn't catch that 40-yard touchdown, then his day looks like every other day from the past year. I am very nervous about OBJ, and I think if he does well this week, I think you may want to consider maybe trading him. Maybe trading him while he's high, but I am a little worried about the production coming from this offense. Baker only threw for 220 yards last game against the Bengals, but keep your eyes on OBJ. He's going to get the targets. I just hope the quality of the throws and improves and that OBJ doesn't drop any passes, but OBJ is kind of on my watch list. Next up, we have Cooper Kupp at Buffalo. I think Cooper Kupp is a pretty safe play here, considering the Buffalo top corner is going to be lined up against Robert Woods. Cooper Kupp lines up 50% in the slot, which is usually where he excels the most. Kupp is seeing his highest snap share percentage in his career. He's seeing like 85-86% over 2 games. I believe Cooper Kupp owners are a little bit uneasy right now, considering he hasn't found the end zone, but I think him and Robert Woods are both pretty overdue, and I think one of them is definitely going to find the end zone this week. But I think Cooper Kupp's going to have a safe floor for sure. He's going to have a serviceable day, but to really cap on Cooper Kupp's value, you need to count him getting a touchdown, and that could be pretty risky in this game against a pretty decent Buffalo defense. That's why my choice was between Deontay Johnson versus Houston and Cooper Kupp at Buffalo. And my gut feeling, I put my money where my mouth is. Deontay Johnson is my start of the week. So I'm starting Deontay Johnson over Cooper Kupp. Next up, we have Marquise Brown versus Kansas City. Listen, I understand the hype of Marquise Brown. I know he's developing into a breakout. But the fact that Lamar Jackson and this offense runs the ball so much, they love throwing to Mark Andrews, I just don't know where that leaves Marquise Brown. He may have a couple, like 4 receptions for like 60 yards or something in the game, but if he doesn't find the end zone, it's very uninteresting to me. I think Marquise Brown's a very safe pick this week in a very high-scoring matchup, but I think a little more volatile person is the player I'm going to talk about next, CeeDee Lamb at Seattle. In a matchup that's going to be also this high scoring, where you know your quarterback is going to be throwing the ball a lot in Dak Prescott, I really like CeeDee Lamb this week. I think he is kind of emerging as one of the top options in this offense for Dak to throw to, and we're seeing a lot of good things from CeeDee Lamb. If you're looking for kind of a higher ceiling, I'd go CeeDee Lamb over Marquise Brown. If you're looking for more of a kind of a safer floor, I'd play Marquise Brown this week. Next up, we have A.J. Green at Philadelphia. A.J. Green is ranked here simply because out of respect for his target share. We saw him get 18 targets last week, and what I'm trying to see here is if A.J. Green can kind of capitalize on his target share. I think A.J. Green is an automatic hold and possibly a low, like a buy-low candidate as well. That target share just cannot be denied, folks. It is something very rare you see that someone gets 18 targets in a game and your quarterback's throwing for over 60 times in the game. Philadelphia has a terrible secondary, so if AJ Green doesn't do well here, I'm going to be very worried, but I believe this is the time to believe in him and put him in your starting lineup. Next up, we have T.Y. Hilton versus the New York Jets, and I'm very worried for T.Y. this season. It seems like him and Phillip Rivers are just not connecting this game. T.Y. last game, 5 targets, 3 receptions for 28 yards. I believe Michael Pittman Jr. is more of the player to own here, or Paris Campbell, but unfortunately Paris Campbell is going to be out for a significant time. The New York Jets is a very favorable matchup, and that's why I have T.Y. up here. I believe if he cannot get it done against New York Jets, I believe T.Y., I'm going to have zero faith in him going forward this season. Next up, we have Michael Gallup at Seattle. Very similar case to CeeDee Lamb. Michael Gallup usually has these very big boom games, and I believe this is a boom game. I want every piece I can get from this Dallas-Seattle game. Next up, Robbie Anderson at the LA Chargers. A very similar case from Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. Robbie Anderson really right behind DJ Moore in targets. They're seeing an insane amount of target share. Listen, I think Robbie Anderson is fantastic, and I love the game script of them being behind because that forces them to throw the ball more. I think Robbie Anderson is a shoe-in flex play this week. And lastly, rounding out my flex plays this week is going to be Russell Gage versus Chicago. Russell Gage has seen over 20% target share in each of his past 2 games, scoring a touchdown last week. There's nothing – I think people are just scared because they don't know who Russell Gage is, but he is emerging, especially if Julio is out this week. Ladies and gentlemen, you start Russell Gage in your starting lineup because those Julio targets have to go somewhere. All right, lastly, I'm going to talk about a few people you might be willing to throw in, but these guys I'm not really as excited for. Tyler Boyd at Philadelphia, Marvin Jones at Arizona, Darius Slayton versus San Francisco, DeSean Jackson versus Cincinnati. I really like DeSean Jackson versus Cincinnati, a very favorable matchup. John Brown versus the LA Rams, N'Keal Harry versus Las Vegas, and Will Fuller at Pittsburgh. After there, it gets a little wishy-washy of who I want to start and where these guys kind of lay, but I think the names I listed are all guys you can kind of consider for your flex position. All right, let's get on to the quarterbacks. This should be really quick and easy here. Number one, Lamar Jackson versus Kansas City. This is going to be a huge shootout. Now, the reason we have Lamar Jackson a few spots ahead of Patrick Mahomes is because the Ravens have the number one defense in the NFL. And I think Lamar Jackson has innate value due to how he plays the game. And that's why he's going to be at number one this week. Number two, Russell Wilson versus Dallas. Russell Wilson, back-to-back games with 4 touchdowns. You love to see it, folks. MVP-type Russ is here. It is the matchup I told you I wanted every single part of this offense, and I'm ecstatic for Russell Wilson. Kyler Murray, another smash matchup against Detroit. Kyler Murray also kind of submitting his case for a potential MVP candidate. I mean, wow. I mean, he's throwing the ball for about 40 times. You love to see it, and he's attempting to run an average of about 10 times per game. There's nothing you don't love about Kyler Murray. I mean, he's giving you so much value on the ground and in the air. You're excited as an owner. And at 4, we have Patrick Mahomes at Baltimore. I think Mahomes might struggle in this game a bit due to the Baltimore's defense, but Patrick Mahomes is a dog. You know, you can never even count him out. He looked really terrible against the Chargers and came back and salvaged his fantasy day, but I think this is going to be the most hyped matchup of the week in primetime Sunday fashion, so be excited for Mahomes. We have Dak Prescott at Seattle. I've talked enough about this game. Next up, number 6, surprise pick, Cam Newton versus Las Vegas. We saw Cam Newton throw for 400 yards last game and also be their leading rusher in the same game. You love to see it. I'm ecstatic to start Cam Newton. He almost looks like a mini Lamar out there fantasy-wise. Next up, Josh Allen versus the LA Rams. The emergence of Josh Allen continues. Can he continue to succeed in a harder matchup? Because his first 2 games have been pretty easy, to be quite frank with you. Pretty favorable matchups where their defense honestly hasn't been able to hang too much. It's been the New York Jets and Miami. But we've seen a new dimension to Josh Allen's game where they're willing to let him throw a little bit more. So I expect Josh Allen to have a good game against the Rams. It's going to be competitive. I do believe the Bills lose this game, but I believe Josh Allen will do just fine. Next up, we have Matt Ryan versus Chicago. Matt Ryan is going to give you the steady 400 yards and 2 touchdowns and maybe 2, and usually no picks at all. I trust Matt Ryan in this game. I believe Chicago's defense is not what it was, but you can always count on Matt Ryan for that ceiling or for that floor. Next up, my almost start of the week. It was my start of the week last week. quarterback number 9, we have Ben Roethlisberger versus Houston. Listen, I think Houston is kind of a dumpster fire a bit this season in terms of defense and their offensive line. I think the Steelers offense looks a lot of like vintage Big Ben offenses. I'm very excited about the pieces they have in this offense. James Conner's healthy, and I think Big Ben is locked and loaded to have a good game. Rounding out my QB, my starting 10 QBs, Aaron Rodgers at New Orleans. Now, I know Devontae Adams is probably not going to play this weekend, but Aaron Rodgers has, I feel like there's a fire in his belly. You know, I think he wanted to, I think it was a big season for him to prove that they shouldn't pivot off him for Jordan Love. And I think Aaron Rodgers is really proving that this season. And there seems to be a new flair, a lot of old Rodgers-esque type plays this season. I'm very confident in starting Rodgers this week. Next up, number 11, we have Matthew Stafford, Arizona. Arizona kind of mid-tier against wide receivers and quarterbacks. But I think with the addition of Kenny Galladay, we're finally going to see how Matthew Stafford's game was supposed to look like all season. And I think it's a very good play against Arizona. Next up, Ryan Tannehill at Minnesota. Ever since Ryan Tannehill has taken over as quarterback, you've heard me say this before, but he's only scored under 21 fantasy points once. He obviously has had a lot of tough matchups, and I think it's time you stop doubting Ryan Tannehill, and we keep starting him until he really lets us down, which he hasn't yet. Next up, Deshaun Watson at Pittsburgh. This is a nightmare. I don't want to start Deshaun at all. Pittsburgh has an amazing pass rush led by TJ Watt. And we know from Houston's offensive line, Deshaun's going to be running for his life trying to make plays, and I just don't want that for my fantasy quarterback. So I have Deshaun this high due to respect for his name and the plays that he can make, but I'm not very confident in starting him. Next up, Carson Wentz versus Cincinnati. I cut Carson Wentz from my team this week due to simply because he's underperformed these first 2 weeks in some favorable matchups. If he can't get it done against Cincinnati, I really would suggest you Carson Wentz owners out there to drop him too, because it is really sad what we're seeing in Cincinnati. I'm not Cincinnati, Philadelphia. Lastly, I'm going to round out my top 20 QBs. I'm just going to run through them really quick. Drew Brees versus Green Bay, Tom Brady at Denver, Joe Burrow at Philadelphia, Jared Goff at Buffalo, and Justin Herbert versus Carolina. That's right, folks. I'm trusting the rookie. All right, everyone. That is going to do it for our wide receiver and quarterback matchups. I hope this gave you a little bit more clarity going into the weekend. I hope that you teams out there have a lot of injuries. I gave you some guys that you can probably plug and play this week and you're able to find on waivers. That's going to do it for our week 3 coverage, ladies and gentlemen. Best of luck this weekend. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and I hope you have a very relaxing day Sunday watching some football. Once again, thank you for supporting the show and listening this far. And yeah, I'll talk to you next week on Monday for reactions to week 3. Take care, folks.